Hey, it's Tony Bruschi along with Jenny and Carol Hughes inviting you to come check out our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories.
You don't get a fart in my presence and just leave it.
When I pick up a cup, I try to take a sip. It's Greg's chew. Like, spit take right into the screen.
Gross.
I know. You can't unhear that.
It's a show jam-packed with stories of crazy bosses, insane coworkers, and workplaces from hell.
I'm seriously getting in trouble right now for being a hard worker.
Pick your ear, nose, rub your eye that clearly probably is pink eye. Here, let me handle those apples for you.
So not only is it gross that you're getting bacteria onto the money, but you're getting bacteria up into... something else.
And the best part, you're invited to share your workplace nightmare or office horror story as well. Just search Office Horror Stories wherever you download podcasts, click subscribe, and start binging away now.
You know, I'm single, and then I listen to stories like that, and I'm like, that person found someone.
What? You've been carrying on a not-so-discreet affair with one of the day shift supervisors and had skipped town with her and literally thousands of dollars of client money that had been earmarked for employee incentives.
I wish I had a kid. Because if I had a kid, I could call in sick a lot, I could leave early a lot, and not saying that they were making it up. But yes, I have worked with people who made that shift.
Our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. New episodes weekly, available wherever you download podcasts.
I have a story about the house that I grew up in. Growing up, I never really even thought anything of it. But as I got older, I started to think, you know, maybe this house could be haunted. But it starts out, before we lived there, my grandfather and grandmother lived there. And my grandfather, come to find out, his sister passed away when she was in college. She killed herself. And he basically obviously missed his sister. And one night when he was laying in bed, he awoke, and his sister was standing in the doorway in a white nightgown that she was found in. And he thought it was strange, but he just thought, you know, maybe he missed his sister a lot and dreamed it up. Well, years later, when we finally moved in, it was the master bedroom, so their bedroom was the same area. And my mother went to sleep that night and awoke and saw the same apparition. And she never heard my grandfather's story, and she came over to their house the next day, and because my dad immediately knew what it was, and he told her to tell him the story. So she does, and she says she thought she dreamed it up too, and she was like, what could that be? And he told her that was my sister, Iva. And she was obviously very confused, you know, kept thinking it was coincidence. And years go by, nothing really happens. There was a couple instances, like my mom was sitting in the living room couch, and a pen rolled, like it had a clip on it. So it couldn't really roll the way that it did without the clip stopping it. So it was very odd, but she didn't think anything of it again. And then years later, we started having kind of like poltergeist activity where our beds would shake. And it would happen on different nights. Like the first night, I think I awoke and my bed was shaking violently. And I thought I was half asleep, didn't really think anything of it. And then the next night, it would happen to my parents. And then the following night, it happened to my brother. And then we would also be in the kitchen sometimes and see like a figure of a man walk by, and I thought it was my brother or my dad, and I would say something to them like, did you go in the kitchen? And they never did. So it's just weird things like that would add up, and I never really thought anything of it. And then we moved out eventually, and the person that moved in claims that he sees an older man all the time. I don't know if that's related, but my question is, if this was my great aunt Iva that haunted the house, apparently she never even lived in the house, so why would she want to haunt a house that she never lived in?
I think quite often we as the living are trying to assign rules to the paranormal, rules that we would have to follow on this side, but maybe not necessarily on the other side. And sometimes I think we assign rules
that don't really make a whole lot of sense. Rules that, well, because you're dead, you should probably follow that. But if it's me on this side, why would I follow that? That makes no sense. Why couldn't I pick up and move? Why couldn't I follow people that I cared about? Why would I have to only stay in the house that I lived in if I'm going to haunt something? It's kind of silly how we sometimes look at the rules of ghosts that we assign when I think it comes down to the fact that there aren't these rules. Just as in life, there are rules that we set up to live by in a peaceful, civilized society, they're not always followed. People can really do almost anything they want within their physical abilities, good and bad, and people do almost anything they want within their physical abilities, good and bad. The only thing that stops them are really a moral compass and direction into what is right and what is wrong and what is going to be appropriate. I think you have that same set of rules with the dead as well. In today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear about some ghosts that seem to move from house to house. Makes a childhood very confusing for one person, because as they leave one house that they knew was haunted, thinking the ghosts are left behind, the ghosts just keep following, moving along with them. Why are they doing this? One woman struggles to discover a way to turn off her abilities to communicate with the dead. Also, a nursing care facility with very abusive practices that eventually does get shut down finds itself infested with very dark spirits seeming to assist in the torment of its own patients. It's a very dark story. We have all that today on this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. It's EPP bonus episode number 278. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. When you grow up in a haunted house, it's easy to pin all the blame on the ghost. It's the haunted house. It's the house. The ghosts are following me. But what happens when you move from house to house, place to place, and you realize, wait a second, these ghosts are over here too. I'm seeing things that others don't seem to be seeing. I'm experiencing things that others don't seem to be experiencing. And then you almost have to wonder, who's following who here? Are the ghosts following the living as they move from place to place? Or is there a subconscious element of the living following the spirits, leading them on their path of life in life? Take a listen. My family and I lived in a small suburb in Nevada near Lake Tahoe when I was probably 4 years old. I was on the second floor of a townhouse and we were renting at the time, and I remember playing with a Captain Phibius toy from The Hunchback of Notre Dame, with some other things I don't remember. But what I do remember is thinking that I wish I had somebody to play with right now. And I see this toy float from its place next to me and be placed on the exact corner of the railing, too high for me to reach. Of note, we grew up pretty latchkey, so my older sister at the time used to have to take care of me and my older brother. She told me in one of our many discussions that more than once she got a call from my neighbors when I was still a baby saying I would be crawling around on the roof. For whatever reason, she never found this startling or shocking at the time, and she doesn't understand now how she could have rationalized that. I used to have to share a bed with my sister at one point in this house, and I remember waking up in the middle of the night to someone knocking on her bedroom door. My sister would stir and get up out of bed, open the door, and the light in the hallway would be turned on. There would be a man in what was an old-fashioned suit who talks with my sister for a time, and she would say it's late and she has to sleep. He would then take his hat from his chest, bow towards her, put it back on, and walk down the hall. The light would turn off after him. This happened very frequently. And she, until I had told her about this many years later, freaked out, thinking it was an old reoccurring dream. Summers in that area can be brutally hot, staying around the mid-80s to over 100 degrees. But according to my mother, the downstairs living room was always absolutely freezing, sometimes to the point of seeing your breath. She'd fall asleep in the living room sometimes after fights with my father and would wake up to see a man's face maniacally smiling at her. Other times, she'd wake up to hear him whispering foul things in her ears. Eventually, we moved to the city of Reno and moved to a house, which would be calm, at least for me, for a few years. When I was 7, we went to Sacramento to visit my aunt and uncle, and while we were trying to find their house, in a very confusing suburb, my dad was driving the car at a snail's pace to figure out where he was going. I looked out the window, and I saw this man, very shakily and erratically fumbling forward towards us, and his eyes were wide open. Nothing but white, no veins, no cornea, just pure white, struggling to move down the sidewalk. I asked my family what was wrong with the man, only to be asked, "What man are you talking about?" I couldn't explain why at the time, but I was creeped out for the rest of the day. Looking back at the memory now, probably the first time I realized what I saw was an abnormality in the world. But I hadn't really been formally introduced to the concept of ghosts at the time. I was about 8 years old and conscious and aware that ghosts and the like shouldn't exist or don't exist, but that was about to change. My obsession with horror began to really bloom here. One day in the summer, home alone, like usual, I was watching TV in my mom's room because she had the biggest TV. I was already freaked out after watching a History Channel documentary on mummies and a brief Are You Afraid of the Dark marathon. To give you an idea of what the room looked like when you entered, you immediately noticed two things. The door at the forefront of the room opening into the backyard and a floor-to-ceiling sliding closet door with mirrors covering their entire expanse. Suddenly, I heard the door to the room open and my vision turned to monochrome, and I see this tall, albeit pretty, white woman with a towel or shawl-like object wrapped around her head stride into the room. It was as if everything was in slow motion, like I was watching a playback of a recording. And I watched her, and her reflection walks to the front of the bed and sit down and looked at the doors to the backyard. I could hear the bed spring and squeak and see the covers crease. She seemed to totally ignore my presence. Eventually, she stood up and walked through the doors, and my vision returned to normal, as did the flow of time. I was so terrified and astounded at what I just saw that I couldn't move until my family returned from errands. And that is where we're going to stop the preview portion of this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear the full thing, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. For only $5 a month, you're going to get access to the rest of this episode and all 278 bonus episodes of the show in their entirety, all there for you to binge away on. Also, you get access to our regular episodes commercial-free in advance of their release. You get to listen to them before everybody else, weeks before. So another perk right there. You get advanced opportunities to get tickets when we go out and do live events and a lot more, too. So check it out. $5 a month. Keep us on the air and get all the extra perks. Ghostpodcast.com. Sign up there or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.